going to continue on our study with our series that we started this morning. It's a two-part lesson as we examine the question, who is the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament? We've already looked at several examples that show that the angel of the Lord has characteristics of deity. And we also looked at some things that show that this angel of the Lord is none other than the Jesus before he became flesh. And as he's working in our lives, for people's lives, all the way from the beginning of time. And so tonight we're going to press on and we're going to continue looking at some more examples of this angel of the Lord. Next, as we move up in time, we find out that Moses also encounters this angel of the Lord. Let us begin looking here at Exodus 3 and verse number 2. It says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God." Now, in verse number 2 and 4, either the burning bush was getting really full or crowded, or else these terms are used synonymously talking about the angel of the Lord. And the statement that is made in verse number 6 by the angel of the Lord is the exact same statement that the angel of the Lord had made earlier to Jacob in Genesis 31 in verse number 13, where he claimed to be the God of Bethel, that talked to Jacob in Genesis 28 in verse number 13. And so, again, we can see this was the same statement that the angel of the Lord made. Now, here we see that Moses asked him for his name. And he says, I am who I am, or simply, I am. Now, what's very interesting about this is that Jesus also makes this very claim about himself in John 8, number 56. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now the verse that I skipped on the screen in Exodus 3 and verse 14 is where Moses was talking to him and asking him this question, where he says that I am who I am, or that I am. And of course we see that Jesus is also making this claim as he was talking to the Jews that he was also the I am. Now this word, the I am, means to be, which gives us the idea that Jesus is self-existent. He's always been there. He has always existed. And therefore, he is the best one that fits this term, or who this angel of the Lord was within the burning bush. Because even by his own confession, as we've seen in that passage, he is the I am that was before Abraham. Also, we find that Stephen mentions this event in his sermon in Acts 7 in verse 30 through 36. Where he just basically retells the story, but in verse 35, he says that the children of Israel are going to be delivered by the hand of the angel of the Lord that the one that appeared to Moses in the burning bush. But what I find really interesting is what it says in verse 38. Notice what it says there. This is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us. Now, we only see this event happening one time where God was speaking to the children of Israel on the mountain to Moses, and we find that in Exodus 20, verses 1 through 19, whenever the law was being given. People didn't like what they were hearing. They wanted God just to speak to Moses. And yet, I want you to notice that this is being referred to as the angel of the Lord that was speaking this. Just look at these first two verses of Exodus 20 and verse number 1. It says, And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. And so this angel of the Lord is the one that was doing this, the one that was speaking these words, because he is deity, that was speaking these words to the children of Israel at that time. We also can find out that the angel of the Lord is the one that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. First of all, we're going to see different terms used to that person that was bringing people out of this land of Egypt. First, we can see that it's referred to as the Lord had went before them in Exodus 13 and verse 21. It says, And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them away, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. Next, a little bit further, we find out that this same person is called the angel of God in Exodus 14 and verse number 19. It says, "Then the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them." Now, in this next passage, we see that we're not talking about God the Father here. We're talking about someone being sent other than another person called Lord or God. Numbers 20 and verse 16. It says, "When we cried out to the Lord, he heard our voice and sent the angel and brought us up out of Egypt." Now watch this. Again, another account of this. Judges chapter 2 and verse number 1. It says, "Then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, 'I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare to you.'" And so we can see in this text where it talks about the angel of the Lord, he is the one that said these things. He's saying, "I made this covenant with you." Again, this is only something that God could do. So we know that the angel of the Lord is not the Father, yet again we can see that he is a deity as he being speaks about himself. He's speaking with authority. He's saying, "I did this and I did that." Now, Paul gives us another clue. He gives us another clue that the angel of the Lord is none other than Jesus Christ. And he does this in 1 Corinthians 10, starting in verse number 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Now, according to Paul, Jesus was there. And from all these other verses, we can also see that the angel of the Lord was there. He was the one that was leading and guiding and protecting these. So again, you draw these two things together, and you can see again that Jesus is the one that best fits who this angel of the Lord is. Now, we have another example of the angel of the Lord's deity in the story of Balaam and Balak. Well, we know that Balak, he wanted, in Numbers chapter 22, he wanted Balaam to curse the children of Israel. And at first God says, "No, you do not curse the children of Israel." And he says that in verse number 12. Well, apparently something in Balaam's heart was a little bit off. It sounded like he kind of desired he wanted to do this. Because we find out that Balak's men, they go and send for him again, maybe offer him even more money, and they want him, they're trying to get him to come curse the children of Israel. He's not giving up. Well, apparently based upon what Balaam was wanting, we find in verse number 20 that God says, "Go ahead and go with these people, but you only speak the words that I tell you." And he does this. He gets up and he goes with them. But this really arouses the anger of the Lord, because he already told him that he didn't want them to curse the children of Israel. And again, he must be seeing Balaam's heart and seeing that he was going to do that very thing. And he was sitting there just following after his heart. And then after this point, as he's on his way to go to Balak, we find that the angel of the Lord gets involved in this situation. And we begin to pick up in this story in Numbers 22 and verse 22. So then God's anger was aroused because he went. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in the narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw that the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam, so Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have abused me. I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you." So the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to you?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you, because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me, and he turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would have also killed you by now and let her live." And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back." Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Now, when Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out and met him at the city of Moab, which is on the border at the Arnon, the boundary of the territory. Then Balak said to Balaam, "Did I not earnestly send to you, calling for you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you?" And Balaam said to Balak, "Look, I have come to you. Now have I any power at all to say anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that I must speak." Again, I wanted to show this whole story in context so we could see everything that was going on in here. First of all, we notice that it was God that forbid Balaam from going and speaking or cursing the children of Israel. But then he said, "Go ahead and go, but speak the words that I say." Well, then as we move up to verse number 20, again, we find out that the angel of the Lord makes this exact same statement. He says, "No, you go ahead and go with them, but you speak the words that I have said." And so again, we see that God's saying this. Now we see that the angel of the Lord is saying this. And in verse number 35, we find out that Balaam, he makes it very well known that this word that the angel of the Lord spoke, which is also called God, that it was the very words of God. Again, you draw both of these together, and again, I think you can see that this is showing that the angel of the Lord, in this instance, is again showing qualities of deity. Now, in our next two examples, we will see that the angel of the Lord is going to accept worship and also a burnt offering. And again, this clearly shows that the angel of the Lord is not either a man nor a regular angel, because the New Testament makes it very clear that there's only one person that is to be worshipped, and that is God. We find out in Revelation 22 in verse number 8 and 9 that John, he began to fall down before an angel, and the angel said, "Do not fall down before me, do not worship me. There's only one worthy of worship, and that is God." Also in Acts 10 in verse 25 and 26, when Peter went to Cornelius' household, he began to fall down before him to worship, and he says, "I am nothing but just a mere man." And so in the instance, you see this over and over again, that the only person that is to be worshipped is God. And so as we begin to see that the angel of the Lord accepts worship and these burnt offerings, this shows us that he must be deity, has the characteristics of deity. Now the first example I want to look at begins in Judges chapter 6 and verse number 11. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizarite, which his son Gideon threshed wheat into the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.' And Gideon said to him, 'O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.' Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?' So he said to him, 'O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.' Then he said to him, 'If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who are talking with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you.' And he said, 'I will wait until you come back.' So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket and put the broth in a pot. And he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of God said to him, 'Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay this on the rock and pour out the broth.' And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and the fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord, so Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you, do not fear, you shall not die." Now, some of the things I want to point out as we look to this verse, there are several things where you see different terminology used interchangeably. First of all, in verse number 12, we see that it's the angel of the Lord is speaking to Gideon. In verse number 14, then it's saying that the Lord is speaking. In verse number 20, it calls it the angel of God. And then verse 21, we get back to the angel of the Lord. And in verse number 23, it gets back to the Lord. And so we see all these terms being turned around. Also, within these statements, we also see that whenever Gideon saw this or realized who this was, then he says the same thing that many others did. He thought that he was going to die because, again, as you see through the Bible, it says in the other scriptures that if you saw God, that you would die. And this is what they thought. And so he says the same statement about the angel of the Lord. And then finally, in verse number 18, we find that the angel of the Lord, he accepts this offering that Gideon is bringing. In fact, he waits for it. He doesn't correct him and say, "No, you didn't make this to God or someone else." He accepts this particular worship, and it's at that point when it's burnt up and he goes up with the offering that he realizes that this is the angel of the Lord. And again, the only one that could accept a burnt offering or this type of thing would be, again, someone that was deity. Now, many of those who have studied this out, they also agree that this angel of the Lord is the exact same person that talked to Joshua. In fact, I mentioned this in my devotional on Wednesday night. But look at it, Joshua 5 and verse 13. Then it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped, and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandals off your foot, and for this place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Again, we can see that this particular person that is being mentioned here, again, has a characteristic of that of the angel of the Lord. And the fact that we see, first of all, that he calls him Lord, Joshua is down worshiping, he doesn't correct him on that. And we also see that he says the same thing that the angel of the Lord said to Moses from the burning of bush. He's told him to take off his sandals because this is a holy place. And so again, all these things together, again, points to this being the same person or this pre-existent Jesus Christ. Now our next event comes from Samson's parents, because they have a conversation with the angel of the Lord as well. And we'll see that they also claim that he was God. Let's begin looking at this event, starting in Judges chapter 13 and verse number 2. It says, "Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, 'Indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines.' So the woman came and told her husband, saying, 'A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, "Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. The child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, "O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born." And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, "Look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me." So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, and he said to him, "Are you the man who spoke to this woman?" And he said, "I am." Manoah said, "Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?" So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Now, I tell you, we have a little bit of an unfair advantage. The writer tells us that they were talking to the angel of the Lord. However, they don't really realize at this moment. The woman said that he had the countenance or the brilliance out of the angel of the Lord, but she didn't ask his name and wasn't really for sure. And so they just think that this is just a man of God. Now watch what happens next as we look at verse 15. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you." And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord." For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name? And when your words come to pass, we may honor you." And the angel of the Lord said to them, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" You see, they didn't understand that they were talking to the angel of the Lord. And they were going to offer him something to eat, because that's what the custom was of that day. But he said he wasn't going to eat. He said, "You need to make an offering to the Lord." And he said they did not realize that that was the angel of the Lord. We're going to find out what this offering has to do and how the angel of the Lord is a part of this offering. Another thing we see is whenever they inquire of his name, he says that my name is wonderful. Or literally saying my name is a secret is what that word literally means. Now look at verse 19. So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it up on the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing with Manoah and his wife, and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." But his wife said to him, "If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things at this time." Again, our text now shows us that somehow, we don't know exactly how, but whenever the angel of the Lord went up with this sacrifice, this kind of clicked in their heads and they realized that this was the angel of the Lord. And whenever they saw this, they had this same idea that everyone else has encountered the angel of the Lord. They said that they had seen God and they were afraid that they were going to die. And the woman, and she tells him, says, "No, if we were going to die, then, you know, we would already be dead, basically, and he would not have accepted this offering from us." So again, you can see that this again points to Jesus, I believe, or to this angel of the Lord having these characteristics of deity. Now I want you to notice these last two verses in verse number 24. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Machanah, Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. Now, if I'm correct on the identity of the angel of the Lord as being Jesus, then we see all three members of the Godhead at work here in this birth. First, you have God the Father, you have Jesus as the angel of the Lord, and obviously in verse number 25, this is referring to the Holy Spirit in verse number 25. And so again, you can see all three members of the Godhead working here. Another interesting occurrence of the angel of the Lord occurs with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. We know that these three young men, that they would not bow down to the idol that the king Nebuchadnezzar had made. And because of this, they come before the king and given a second chance, but still they will not bow down to it. And so King Nebuchadnezzar, he heats up the fiery furnace 7 times hotter than it has ever been, making it really hot, and he's going to throw these men of God into the furnace. Now I want you to notice what he observes after they're thrown into the furnace as we begin in Daniel 3 and verse 25. It says, "Look," he answered, "I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together. And they saw that these men, on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, and they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God." Now, we're not told of what kind of knowledge that King Nebuchadnezzar had about the God of Israel. However, we do know that he recognized the fact that he was the God of all gods whenever Daniel interpreted his dream earlier on. And we can see this in Daniel 2 in verse number 47, where he makes this statement. So the king answered Daniel and said, "Truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and the revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." Now, it's certainly possible that Daniel could have taught King Nebuchadnezzar a great deal about God and the things that has to do with him. However, we don't know this for sure. However, whenever he looked at this fourth person, from whatever reason, from his standpoint, he says it's the Son of God. And he says, a little bit later, he says that God has sent this angel to deliver you. Again, the people that look at these or the studies I've seen on this, you look at this, even whenever they're not looking at the particular angel of the Lord, many believe that this was Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate state. And they believe that this is the angel of the Lord that was in here that was protecting these men. And whoever this angel was, I believe is the exact same angel that shut the mouth of the lions that saved Daniel in Daniel 6, verses 21 through 22. Another thing that's interesting to note about the angel of the Lord, as you begin to study it, as you see that he kind of disappears after the Old Testament and whenever you get in the New Testament. Now, it is true that you can find the phrase angel of the Lord in the New Testament, but a lot of times those phrases are used to refer to the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, or whenever it is used, the characteristics of that particular angel do not show characteristics of deity and is just not on the same playing field as the one in the Old Testament. And the reason why I believe this is the case is because whenever Jesus became flesh in the New Testament, he was no longer appearing as a man, as this angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, but he became man, he became flesh. And so we no longer have occurrence of the qualities or the characteristics of this angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. We don't find that in the New Testament. Now, there are certainly many more examples that we could look at from the Old Testament that involve the angel of the Lord. But I think these examples that we've looked at this morning and this evening have certainly shown that the angel of the Lord is not a mere man and is not just some special angel, but that he had the characteristics of deity and that he accepted worship. And those that met him, they had this honor of meeting him and talking with him. Whenever he left, they always considered or called him that he was or considered him as being God. But all these things show that he was deity. So as we come to the end of our lesson, I want to show you one more thing. I want to show you that Jesus is the most logical choice out of all the members of the Godhead that was this angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. First of all, we can find out that God the Father has never been seen by man. John 1 and verse number 18 says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Well, in the Old Testament, we can see examples, again, where it says that people saw God. And as we've noticed, several of those examples were from people who were actually talking to this angel of the Lord who had the characteristics of deity, which, again, I believe was a manifestation of Jesus. And we'll also have instances sometimes, though, where you can look at it and you could say, well, that's talking about the Father. They saw the Father. Well, every time when you look at this, what you'll see is whenever they did see the God name there, what they did is they saw a manifestation of God's glory. They didn't actually see him as he was. A great example of this can be found in Exodus 33 in verse number 20. "But he said, 'You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live.' And the Lord said, 'Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen.'" And so again, we can see that whenever these people saw God or whenever they perceived this, it was not him as he was. It was a manifestation of his glory or a manifestation of him in some way. However, Jesus, as we can see, has seen the Father, and he is the one that declares him. He's seen him as he is. We also can see in Colossians 1 and verse number 15 when it talks about Jesus that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In Hebrews 1 and verse number 3 says that he is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So no one has seen the Father, but people certainly have seen Jesus. Now, another thing I want to consider is the Holy Spirit. What about the Holy Spirit? After all, he is a deity as well. Well, as far as I understand, and I haven't ever found it, if someone wants to show it to me, that's fine. But I've never have seen the Holy Spirit ever been betrayed as portraying himself or being manifested as a man. In fact, the only time that we see a reference that I'm aware of where someone's seen the Holy Spirit or a manifestation thereof is at the baptism of Jesus. Because John the Baptist in Matthew 3, verse 16, talks about how he could see the Holy Spirit descending like a dove onto Jesus Christ. Also, as you begin to look at the work of the Holy Spirit, you can see that usually he was the power behind the miracles. He also inspired people that they could speak the oracles of God. And so he doesn't really fit the characteristics of the angel of the Lord. And so again, I think this rules out the Holy Spirit. So the best person I think that fits the angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ. And the reason why is, first of all, and he said that he was the I Am in John 8 and verse 58, which is the same thing that the angel of the Lord said from the burning bush to Moses in Exodus 3 in verse number 14. Also, Paul said that Christ was there in the wilderness with the children of Israel in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. And so also was the angel of the Lord. He was there guiding and protecting the children of Israel, according to Judges chapter 2 and verse number 1. And then finally, as we look at the characteristics of Jesus, we see that he was someone, his work was that too. He was the spokesperson for God. He was always carrying out the plans of the Father. He was doing his will. He would speak the things that he had heard and that he had seen. And you look at all of these characteristics together about Jesus. Again, he is the person that fits best of who this angel of the Lord was in the Old Testament before he became flesh. Now, this certainly is not a lesson that is something that's going to jeopardize our salvation. Again, I just think it is a very interesting lesson, and you look at these things and you begin to piece these things together and you can see who this angel of the Lord was. But not only do I think that these verses show us that the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament was Jesus in his pre-incarnate state before he became flesh, I also think it also helps to show us that the entire Godhead has been involved with us from the beginning of time and will continue to be involved with us until Jesus comes again. And even after Jesus comes again, those who are faithful, those who have faithfully served God and find themselves in heaven will get to be there with the Godhead for eternity in heaven. Well, that brings us to the end of our lesson this evening. If there's anyone here tonight that needs the prayers of this congregation, or if there's anyone here that has not become a child of God and you want to obey the gospel plan, then why not take care of that tonight? Come forward, be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. If we can serve anybody in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing our invitation song.